Hello and welcome to episode 16 of Life in Hex. I'm Gelada.
I'm Severin.
And it's very, very warm, as you just said, on the test.
Just a bit.
I mean, it is.
There, it's too hot.
It must be like 35 in here.
In here, it must be around that kind of temperature.
It's really, really
outside
hot.
Outside in the entirety of our area, it's like 28, 29.
Mm-hmm.
So but in our studio, it's going to be what? 30-odd, 35?
It's really hot. We apologise if there's any like wind noise. We didn't hear any on the playback of the test, but...
We've got fans on.
We've got a fan on, so if there's any wind noise, we're really sorry. I don't think there is any, so I'm sure we'll be all right.
Yeah.
Hope so, anyway. Otherwise, if not, fuck it, we're not doing this again. Just a bit of housekeeping, obviously. Also, not only is it really hot, but we're a bit late. This is Monday now, which is 2 days later than we should be recording.
Yeah, we usually record on Saturday, and it's now Monday.
But we had no microphones because my dad took them, because he had a gig just down the road in a pub. And we use his microphones, so and we could have borrowed some from Mix Wizard. He said this morning, why don't you just borrow some from me? And I was like, oh, yes.
Didn't think of that.
That's a very good point. I could have just borrowed some from you. But and we'll do it next time. If next time that ever happens again, we'll go, Mix, microphones, please. But also, it was a Saturday, and he would have been working.
Yeah.
So it would have been kind of tricky to get him. So this should be released Thursday is my plan. You should be listening to this on Thursday.
It gives you the same amount of time to edit and
yeah,
release.
Exactly. So that's the housekeeping-y stuff. We got some life. What we haven't written on the show notes is that we finished exams.
Yeah, we've finished all our exams off now. We're free students almost. Well, you're not.
I'm back to school for 7 weeks or 6 weeks.
To start off your A2 introductory courses. Yeah, I'm off.
Yeah, you're relaxing.
I slept in all day while you were at school, so...
Yes, I phone you as I'm walking home from school, and you're like, yeah, I just woke up, and I'm like, you bastard. But I did have a little thing to do while I've been doing exams, and that's Project Guidestone.
Ooh!
It's not as fancy as it sounds. It sounds
nah,
like really
not at all.
Amazing, but basically it was just to bring Higara, which is the name of my old computer, up to sort of the world of sexy computers.
Mm.
Yeah. Because it gets a lot of use. We're using it right now to record the show.
Yeah,
it actually looks quite like a sort of show recording
it
case,
does. I mean,
it?
It's a nice looking case.
It is a nice... I love the
case. Because we've got the... what was it called? It's a Coolmaster MO...
533. Yeah. And there's some pretty lights as well. I mean, you've got a red cold cathode in it.
Yeah, you bought a red cold cathode for the side of it, so...
And it's nice. I mean, you use it for the LAN and...
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I probably get more use out than you do.
Well, probably, because... but. Overall, I've had a lot more use when it was my
actual computer.
Yeah, obviously.
I know what you're saying. What I mean is, like, nowadays, you know, I use it more. But it's for a second computer that you have, you use it so much.
Yeah, exactly.
It was definitely worth investing a bit of money in it.
And it's getting nice and warm. We'll put some pictures up on the website, on the forum or something like that.
Yep.
I haven't taken any, and I couldn't find the camera just now to take any. So we'll put some pictures up of it glowing in the dark and that sort of thing. Maybe of the LAN as well. When we get some LAN photos, there'll be some cool photos of it glowing next to Aya.
Because we're going
to
have Aya and Higara next to each other.
We also had a gaming session a couple of days ago from when we were recording on Saturday.
Yep, because we couldn't record, we thought, let's just enjoy ourselves and do a bit of gaming.
And we did, and that was very cool.
It was very fun, yes.
It was really hot, though. I mean, it's not gaming weather.
On Saturday, it was, like, boiling hot. I mean, you walk into your room, and it's like you've got the first half of it. It's relatively all right, you know.
Yeah.
It's warm, but it's all right. Then you walk past where the window is, and it's like walking into a freaking oven.
Yeah, it is really hot, and the computers don't like it. I don't like it. No one likes it.
No.
We left the door shut on Tomb Raider, and it got up to 30 degrees in there, and the UPS wasn't happy, but it's all right. So
it's just...
They get up to 40 before
nasty,
they blow up.
But we had a good fun.
It was good fun. We discovered the new BF2 co-op mode, and that
was the highlight, We were just playing around on BF2, we noticed it, didn't we? And you were like, oh, yeah, there's co-op mode, and I was like, oh, cool, let's try it out. Because obviously we can't both play on the same servers. I was playing online because it's the same IP.
Mm.
But... you know, we were playing a co-op mode against bots, and that was really good fun.
It was actually good fun, so I urge anyone who just wants a bit of a laugh with a mate to go and try that out on BF2. It's very cool. But I do want to whinge at EA for being complete assholes.
Oh, God, they're stupid,
you know,
aren't they?
I try and buy Armored Fury, and all I've got is a solo card, which is a debit card in the UK. And they have a form to fill in your credit card details, and they have a little bit of JavaScript when you switch to solo or switch, which has like an issue number and a start date thing, which for some random reason on a debit card, you need the start date. But it doesn't work. Their form doesn't work. So I contact them and I get some dumbass automatic response that, you know, after the automatic response, and it mentions a bit about solo claiming that it's my card that's at fault, which I know it's not. I've ordered stuff 2 days ago off Overclockers.
Exactly.
But the last bit just made me laugh so hard because they have a thing about, we have alternate methods of paying for our subscription-based program games, and they list like Ultima Online, The Sims 2 Online, and Earth and Beyond. And that just made me laugh. I was like, when did you update your support?
You discontinued Earth and Beyond like 3-4 years ago.
It's just stupid. I could not believe it. I wasn't laughing at the time. I thought it was completely pathetic. But you're telling me that they haven't updated their support ticket system, you know, with their automatic... Because fair enough, automatic responses, yeah, you're going to get them. But to not have updated it and to it still say Earth and Beyond, I mean, really?
Pathetic. But you see, what makes me laugh is that Sims Online hasn't been around that long.
Yeah.
So they must have updated it in some way
to put the Sims on.
To put the Sims on.
But there were other things as well that have just been released.
Exactly. So, but they left Earth and Beyond on there.
It almost made me think, dude, I can still pay for Earth and Beyond. Play! But no.
Yeah, the server's still there. Oh, no, then.
You go on the website and it's all gone. But yeah, so that was just my little EA rant there.
Oh, that's like, EA are very annoying. I mean, they're just like monopolizing the gaming market.
Mm-hmm.
Starting to, anyway. Mm. It's getting annoying.
Oh, well. Anime? You have some anime to talk about. You have a review, I believe.
Yes, I do.
Pour myself some water.
Oh, yes, enjoy the water. It's very nice. I decided to do a manga review this week instead of an anime review. Wow, so I know this is the anime section, but it's still a manga review. So
we really need to rename it to Japanese something.
Japanese culture?
Yeah, something like that.
But something a bit more catchy.
Yeah. Anyway, go.
So I'm doing a review on the manga series called Rurouni Kenshin, or Rurouken for short. Now...
Uh-huh.
This is another, because I mean, this is, you know, my kind of genre. This is another Shonen Jump anime, manga. What's wrong?
Yep. No, I was just cooling my hands on that.
Oh, for crying out loud. Don't warm the water up. I have to drink it. It's another Shonen Jump manga series. So, as is obvious, the genre is very much, well, Shonen genre. You know, the idea of an adventure going on. But it's got intermittent comedy within it, so, you know, you get the odd funny moments. But it's interesting how it works, but you've also got a very subtle touch of a romance story going on.
All right.
It's not very obvious. It's not like in your face kind of thing. It's very subtle. It's very below, you know, below the dialogue and everything. Mm. So it's there, but it's not obvious it's there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice. It doesn't make it feel, oh, for God's sake, you know, just get on with the action sort of thing.
Yeah.
The original story and artwork was done by Nobuhiro Watsuki, who's been doing the Rurouken manga series now since 1992.
All right.
When he originally put it together under the name of Meiji Swordsman Romantic Story, hence, you know, why I said about subtle romance.
Yep.
But it wasn't until 1994 that it was actually serialized in the Weekly Shonen Jump magazine. So he made the concept of it, he made the basic storyline of it and everything.
And it took 2 years before someone noticed it.
About a year and a half to 2 years before it really took off, and Shonen Jump, I mean, yeah, we're going to put it in our magazine for you. And since it was going on, it's been going strong in Japan. It's still very popular in Japan. Obviously, it's finished now. I think the series is over. I think the series ended. I'm not 100% sure because I haven't actually finished it myself because it's not been fully released in this country yet. But it's still going strong in the UK and the US as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're good sales. It's a very old manga series, and you can really tell that by the way the anime looks. There's an anime version of it as well.
All right.
But it looks very well known.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the anime,
yep.
That's what makes the series better known in the West, especially in America, as it goes under the title of Samurai X.
All right.
So if you've seen Samurai X and you think this sounds quite similar to this Rurouni Kenshin he's talking about, it's the same thing. They just renamed it for the PC American audience, like we were talking about earlier.
Oh, yeah, with the whole, like, Indian people having to call themselves Jay.
Instead
of their real names. Something long.
We don't know, but so... Yeah. It's like American censorship to some extent, you know, but whatever. So the series kept its original name, which is Rurouni Kenshin, which in most people's opinion is a better name. I mean, don't you think Rurouni Kenshin sounds so much better than...
On Samurai X, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the word Rurouni means a wandering swordsman,
and
Kenshin is his second name.
Right.
So it sounds so much better than Samurai X.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even a samurai, for crying out loud. The basic plot of the series is it's set in the 11th year of the Meiji period in Japan, and that's around 1864-ish.
Mm-hmm.
That's around that. The Meiji period was just after the revolution in Japan of overthrowing kind of like the oppressive monarchy almost of Japan and starting up more of a democratic government, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the main character, Himura Kenshin, is what was a former assassin of the revolutionaries, who went by the code name of the Hitokiri Batosai.
Mm-hmm.
Hitokiri means assassin in Japanese, or manslayer in Japanese, rather.
All right, cool.
Batosai was his style of killing people, basically.
Fair enough.
but after the revolution, he becomes what's known as a Rurouni, a wandering swordsman, because he really doesn't want to, like, be in combat anymore, he doesn't want to fight anymore, etc. You know, he's quite the pacifist, surprisingly, even though he's, like, this ultimate swordsman, you know?
Yeah.
You remember that? I remember when I did a review of Trigun?
Yes, I do.
Remember Vash, the main character in that?
Yep, vaguely.
He's quite similar to that.
All right.
He's quite similar to the way that he's like a laid-back guy, but he can fight, you know, the shit out of people.
Yeah, cool.
There's an interesting progression throughout the series, in my opinion. I mean, it's like the series starts off quite slowly, almost.
Mm-hmm.
It starts off in a really almost dull way.
Right.
But it soon picks up. And I think it's because, I personally think it's because Watsuki, the guy who made it, he didn't really have much confidence in himself to begin with. What's funny?
Mm-hmm.
What's
I'm
funny?
I'm just reading ahead.
Oh, right, okay.
Go on.
the Watsuki didn't really have much confidence in himself when he started making it, because, I mean, you can read some of the comments he writes for the English versions of it. And he's like, oh, I didn't think it was very good, and oh my God, I can't believe it's happening. So I think that kind of shows in his work. But now that he's picked up and started to realise that, well, when he started to realise, back in how many years ago it was, that his series was pretty good, he really started to pick up as well. The art style is always very detailed. The character art design is absolutely brilliant, in my opinion. It's really nicely done. It's much better than some of the stuff you've seen. And just the one flaw I'd say about the artwork is that there's a little too much action work and speed lines and everything.
All right, yeah.
It's like when something's happening, there's loads on the page. It's like constant, you know, lines all over the page. It kind of makes it a little bit hard to see what's going on sometimes. Overall, it's a very good series.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like things like sword fighting action, mm-hmm, like, you know, e.g. the shounen genre,
yep,
you'll really like this. Also, if you like really handsome, buff-looking guys, because, I mean, all the male main characters are all these very, you know, handsome-looking guys,
yeah,
really big and strong and everything, you,
yeah,
know, every woman would swoon over.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to love this. And, of course, this is to all our fangirls.
Yes, so, indeed. How are you doing, Moonlit?
Yeah, how are you, Moonlit? Yes. You might like this series. So you'll love it if you like all that. But if you like the average shonen manga, you'll also love this. So if you like things like One Piece, if you like things like Bleach, if you like things like Shaman King, if you like, you know, all that kind of stuff, you'll love this as well. It's really that kind of manga series. However, it does have its faults. I think one of the main ones that it main fault it has, and Pacamac agrees with me on this, because it's Pacamac who lends me these series again, as usual.
Yeah.
It's very much what's known as the villain of the day syndrome, so to speak. So, like, every volume of the manga series, it's always just one villain.
Uh-huh.
So, like, in volume 2, there'll be one villain, he defeats him. The next volume, there'll be a slightly stronger villain who's just a bit harder to kill, but he defeats him too, you know.
All right, I get it, yeah.
It gets a bit repetitive, it gets a bit like, well, yeah, sure, but where's the overall story plot?
Mm-hmm.
What's the point in all this?
Mm-hmm.
Which, it gets a bit dull sometimes.
All right, cool.
But other than that, it's pretty cool. Some of the characters are a little annoying at times, but they're generally quite likable, and some of them are very funny, some of them are very serious. Like, you really look forward to them.
Yeah.
Overall, I'd give it an 8.5 out of 10.
All right, cool.
So go and check it out if you're into all the usual good stuff.
Uh-huh. Okay, thank you very much, Sephron, for that anime review. Would you like to go and stand outside? Because, well, should we put this on the show? Okay. We just sat and did the Half-Life 2 Episode 1 review, which we're about to do. And we talked to ourselves, because when we went out, I turned the mixer and the compressor off, and I forgot to turn it back on, and we just sat here talking about Half-Life 2 Episode 1 for about
15 minutes.
Well, it's not that, it's about 7 minutes or something, yeah, like that. So, okay, on to the gaming section.
Again?
Yes. I'm going to do a now quite slightly shorter review of Half-Life 2 Episode 1.
Even though it wasn't short already.
No. Half-Life 2 Episode 1 is the first in the set of episodic content that Valve is going to release. They're doing this because of the huge overheads and release date sort of length that they have if they release full games.
There was a big difference between Half-Life and Half-Life 2. So.
Exactly. And I believe they're releasing 3 episodes so far that they've scheduled. Maybe there'll be more. Maybe there'll be 15. And you play as Gordon Freeman again, as you have done so far in all of the Half-Life games, except the ones where you play as the Black Mesa soldier. And it takes place just after Half-Life 2, almost like, you know, if you played them one after the other, it would be exact. It's frame for frame, exact one straight after the other.
Yeah, yeah.
And it takes place just after the Citadel has exploded. There's an intriguing cutscene at the beginning. I don't want to give it away for anyone who hasn't got the game. It is very interesting, and again, in typical Valve fashion, they leave you with more questions than they've answered throughout the game. In terms of gameplay type thing, it's very similar to Half-Life 2. Well, exactly the same as Half-Life 2. But Alex follows you a lot more now. In fact, through almost the entire game, she's following you, except for the parts where, you know, there's some player-only interaction stuff with physics engine sort of thing that Alex just can't do. And in general, AI has been improved. In terms of graphics, obviously, it's typical Half-Life 2 stuff. They've upgraded the Source engine, as they've been doing constantly, and the last upgrade was Lost Coast with HDR. That was the main upgrade. But they've also done some stuff with facial animations. They've exaggerated them a bit more, added more different facial animations, and the eyes have apparently been improved. It's just stunning. I mean, it's typical Half-Life 2 wow factor. You look up at the Citadel, and they've used some special Skybox Shader 3 Ultra Uber, we're gonna globe in three different spectrums stuff. So it's amazing. I'm very sorry this is so short. In terms of the sounds, you know, there's brilliant voice acting, which really adds to the immersive feel of the game.
I must say, that's one thing when I played through it the other day, well, not played through it, but played a little bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was just gotten outside of the gotten outside, basically, you know, from after escaping the Citadel, is it?
Cool air. Feel that?
No.
There was a cool breeze just then.
Thanks. That's typical. You got it and I didn't.
Yeah.
Arthur just escaped from the underground place, wherever I was.
Mm-hmm.
And we got onto the surface. You know, had the doctor, whatever his name is, Dr.
Kleiner?
Yeah. On the, like, the speakers talking about things. And I thought, well, that's, like, doesn't need it to be there, but, like, the voice acting of him is, like, really nice.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And it really adds to the ambience and everything. Mm-hmm. It's really good.
And obviously there's good explosion sounds, the weapon sound good, the sort of sound when you're slightly deafened by a grenade that they use in Counter-Strike as well is really good. And the zombie sounds are really good. I mean, there's a lot of zombies in Episode 1, more than in Half-Life 2. And it's quite scary.
It's that crappy joke Alex makes, though.
Yeah.
Spoils it.
It's like a zombie.
Come on.
Yeah, okay.
That's pretty good, right? No, Alex, it really wasn't.
But at the end of the day, if you like Half-Life 2, then you're going to love Half-Life 2 Episode 1, and you're going to have to get it because you're going to have to be following the storyline. And it's $19.95. There's $20, which is about £11. I converted it, actually. It's exactly £11. So it's quite cheap, but at the end of the day, it's like £2.50 an hour, because you're only going to get about 4 hours of gameplay out of this.
Yeah.
So,
well, to play through it.
Yeah, to play through it. So it is very short, and there's no multiplayer being added, apart from Half-Life Deathmatch Source, which you could get anyway, I think. I think it was free anyway.
Yeah.
So I haven't tried that, but that's going to be Half-Life Deathmatch just in the Source engine. So
yeah.
I don't know what the difference is going to be there. No gravity gun, which makes it kind of boring. There's going to be more, obviously, and I look forward to them because I think Half-Life 2, the whole Half-Life 2 universe is just brilliant. So I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10, which is a lot more than other reviews you normally give it, which is like 8.5, that sort of thing. But just because it's Half-Life, you know, if this was not Half-Life, I'd be saying like 6, 7, because it's so short.
Yeah.
But because it's Half-Life, because you understand, you know, if you understand what Valve are doing, then you kind of appreciate what they're trying to do. So 9 out of 10 because it's Half-Life and Gordon Freeman rocks.
He does indeed.
Mm. Now, I'm going to check. We have. Thank God for that.
We are actually recording this time.
Yes. So we're going to take a quick break and have some music. And this is Code Monkey by Jonathan Colton.
Now, it was really weird, this, wasn't it?
It was.
Because we both heard this song on the exact same day.
Mm-hmm.
Within the same few hours, right?
Yeah, we did indeed.
Because I was listening to MMO Radio.
Where Gamers Rock. And I was listening to Hack 5 Radio. Trust Your Technolust. Listen to techno. Something about Technolust.
Okay. I mean, we both listened to like live streaming internet radio shows. And I heard it when I was like cripping out on RO. Mm-hmm. And you heard it like on Hack 5 later, and you were like, dude, this song's really cool. Like, it's like Code Monkey. And I was like, yeah, dude, I just heard it earlier. And you're like, wow, that's so cool. Thought we'd put it on the show.
Yeah, and it's Jonathan Colton has released it under Creative Commons, which is like, dude, fucking godsend. Thank you for your music.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we can use your music.
So, his website is jonathancolton.com.
Maybe.
I suggest Googling it because that might not be right, but it will also be in the show notes.
We will put a link on the site,
yes. There's some other Creative Commons site stuff. In fact, someone said, I think he says that like he's got more free music than he has buyable music.
Yeah.
So go and check it out. Maybe we'll use him again if some of his stuff is cool. Because,
oh, yeah, you know, definitely.
I mean, good Creative Commons stuff is hard to come by.
It is indeed. But I mean, I like his music, etc.
And it's a cool song.
It is a very good song.
So we'll get you back after this with a bit of tech and then we'll wrap up.
Yes, we will.
Code Monkey, get up, get coffee. Code Monkey, go to job. Code Monkey, have boring meeting with boring manager Rob. Rob say Code Monkey very diligent, but his output stink. His code not functional or elegant. What do Code Monkey think? Code Monkey think maybe manager wanna write goddamn login page himself. Code Monkey not say it out loud. Code Monkey not crazy, just proud. Code Monkey like Speedos. Code Monkey like Tab and Mountain Dew. Code Monkey, very simple man, the big, warm, fuzzy, secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey, hang around at front desk till your sweater look nice. Code Monkey, offer buy you soda, bring you cup, bring you ice. Say no thank you for the soda, cause soda make you fat. Anyway, you busy with the telephone, no time for chat. Code Monkey have long walk back to cubicle. He sit down, pretend to work. Code Monkey not thinking so straight. Code Monkey not feeling so great. Code Monkey like Fritos. Code Monkey like Tab and Mountain Dew. Code Monkey, very simple man, big, warm, fuzzy, secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey like you. A lot. Code Monkey have every reason to get out this place. Just keep on working, see your soft pretty face. Much rather wake up, eat a coffee cake, take bath, take nap. This job fulfilling in creative way, such a load of crap. Code Monkey thinks someday he have everything, even pretty girl like you. Code Monkey just waiting for now. Code Monkey says someday, somehow. Code Monkey like Fritos. Code Monkey like Tab and Mountain Dew. Code Monkey, very simple man, big, warm, fuzzy, secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey like you.
Okay, well, welcome back.
Code Monkey like Fritos. Code Monkey, yeah.
Yeah, welcome back. Shut up, Gelada. You've been singing that all day. That's like one line.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I hope you enjoyed that. I think it's quite a cool song.
It is a cool song.
It's like
it's quite poignant as well at the end, yeah. Sort of in a way. It starts like a comedy song, but it's sort of at the end it's a bit sort of heartwarming and but in the end a bit sad.
Yeah.
Yes. We're gonna move on to I'm gonna sneeze. We're gonna move on to some tech now. Firstly,
did we mention this last show that it was going to be released?
It was going to be released, and now it has. Microsoft has released the public beta 2 of Windows Vista.
Ooh!
We got a chance to play around with it a little bit.
You have more than I have, but yeah.
Yeah. We're not going to talk too much because, to be honest, everyone is doing Windows Vista at the moment. We want to just sort of mention it, give our opinions, but we don't want to be going through some of the features and all this sort of thing.
Now, we did that last episode, we talked about the new Office.
Yeah, we talked about
Before
that, we talked about all the back-end stuff. So to be honest, if you want to know some of the features, there's going to be like a million and one places on the web, including Microsoft.com for all their
propaganda.
You don't
need to hear it again from us.
So, but what we do have is our own opinions, and that's unique to us.
Yeah.
So our opinion is that we don't think much of it.
No, I mean, we both played around with it. Mm-hmm. We both had a look. And
it's cool.
It's all right, but what's the point when you got XP?
Yeah, I mean, they claim that it's written from the ground up, because they claim that Windows XP got too unmanageable, and they started, like, just getting bloated, or more bloated. But to be honest, 32,000 files and 6 gigs of data, that's bloated in its... You know, how can you write 32,000 files from the ground up? You know, Linux takes up 500 meg on minimum. Vista takes up 15 gig on minimum, or something stupid, once you add everything else up.
You told me on the internet, you know, there's something like three, you know, how many files there were in the system directory, and something like 62,000 folders.
Yeah, it's just sick. I mean, there's so much of it. And essentially, at the end of the day, it's XP with a Mac interface.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've done things where, you know, I told you the story about trying to map a network drive. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I was sitting there, and you were like, you can't map drive normally, you know.
Yeah.
You can't just go
Z
map or drive done, really.
And I honestly, if you didn't, you know, they've removed toolbars basically. By standard, there are now no like file, edit, view, tools stuff. They're still there, but you have to press Alt to bring them up. So I couldn't see them. So I'm like, right, map and network drive. Normally you go tools, map, network drive, bingo, there's one. But that wasn't working, because obviously there's no toolbar. So I was like, right, well, I'll right-click, and there's a create network shortcut. I was like, oh, well, that'll be map network drive. Yeah, that's going to be it. So I double-click on that, and then it's like, this will help, blah, blah, blah. So you go next, and then it spends like a split second, and then goes, Windows could not find any network service providers. And I was like, what, excuse me? What's a network service provider? Anyway, if you click on it enough and sort of try it a few times, you eventually get a thing. You have to actually click on this error message that's come up in this window. And you kind of get a thing that says, type a location of an FTP or web folder and stuff.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I'll put the, you know, // Tomb Raider, /Scratch or whatever. But it doesn't come up as a network drive, which I need, because I use console stuff and other programs and all this sort of thing. I want my network drive. Give me my Zed. But it just wouldn't. And in the end, I used a command prompt to get a network drive.
Yeah.
And to, like, you know, net use, blah, blah, blah. But I found out if you press Alt, it brings up the menus again. And then you can go Tools, Map, Network, Drive. But to be honest, I couldn't find it.
No.
You know, and until you know that there's a toolbar there, if you press Alt, then you just... But yeah.
The point is, though, is that as we've said several times, Vista is now for the average person.
Yeah.
So, and how many the average person is going to need to map a network drive,
well, exactly,
or to get the toolbar.
The only person who's going to need to map a network drive is going to be administrators administrating a network, and they're going to do it with a batch file anyway.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it was fairly sluggish in places. You know, it felt
overall... What do you mean in places?
Well...
It was horrible.
Yeah, but no, some of it was quite slick. Just loading stuff up was fairly normal. The start menu was quite quick.
Yeah,
and,
but that,
you know,
I expect that from... That's not something to commend it for. Well, I expect that from a system regardless.
Well, yeah, that's true. But it's only sluggish in places. If the start menu and stuff's quick, then it's not sluggish everywhere, is it? It's sluggish in places.
Well, okay, so we won't badmouth it, but at the same time, we ain't commending it.
Well, no, but it's that's why I haven't said it's quick. It's fairly sluggish in places, but obviously that's kind of to be expected for a beta, because it's only beta 2.
It's not been tweaked yet.
Yeah, but if the release candidates are this sluggish, then we're in trouble, because release candidates mean feature complete. In fact, I think beta means feature complete. So, to be honest, it's kind of worrying. You know, I'm running it on Aya, you know, big spec computer, and I was getting slowdown on trying to move stuff, and I was getting 100% CPU to move Windows. And they say that the Aero is going to use a graphics card, so why isn't it? I'm moving Windows and it's using 100% CPU.
Not my graphics card at all. So.
I mean, Linux, in comparison, if you use XGL and Compose extensions, which gives you that sort of like Windows, you know, vibrating as you move them and stuff, mm-hmm. you get no CPU usage off it when you do stuff. It's all handled by the graphics card. It literally does a 3D overlay onto your desktop. If a bunch of open source geeks can do it, then why can't Microsoft?
Exactly. But of course, this is... The point, you know, this is what we're on about. Mm. It's like you've gotten a system which has been built for quite a while now, you know. Mm-hmm. It's got like so much money behind it, something funny, but they can't bloody do it right. Yeah. You know,
I mean, you know, I was playing music in Media Player, had Media Player minimized, no visualizations, and I was getting like fluctuating between 12% and 20% CPU.
Stupid.
And I was doing nothing. I was chatting to you on MSN, and it was like
20%. You've got a blooming freaking 2.4 Athlon.
Exactly. So Media Player is quite good. Media Player 11, that is. It looks a lot better in Vista than the Beta does in XP.
Yeah.
I must say, because the aero bit is now translucent rather than block black.
Yeah.
So that's quite cool. It take people a lot of getting used to. I know Mix absolutely hates it. But I quite liked it. I quite liked the search was instant. I know iTunes has it and everything
else. I was just about to bring that up. You've got this, but would you really use it over iTunes?
But then iTunes is bloated as well.
I must say that actually most music managers are bloated, aren't they?
Yeah. Fubar 2000 for the win. So slick.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. You have to customize it so much. Literally like 2 hours of customizing to get it to work how you want it.
I remember when I used to use the Share as a program.
Yeah.
Of course, for totally legal reasons.
Of course.
I used to use that as my music player. Mm. I mean, even though it was a P2P piece of software, all my music was played through that, so I just minimized it and used it as my music player. Mm. Because even though the program used a little bit of memory and everything, the Media Player itself was so lightweight.
Yeah.
But it was a good manager. I mean, they could find all these music I always wanted, and it would play easily.
But anyway, so the Media Player looks a lot better. I think for the average user, people will like it because of the artwork and that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's cool.
So, Beta came with that Media Center.
It did, yes, indeed.
Because the Beta was the ultimate version, wasn't it?
I'll notice that when I tried to load the Media Center, it wouldn't work because it tried to load a widescreen by default. And my monitor was like, no, excuse me, you're not loading widescreen on me. Yeah, just like out of range stuff.
Exactly.
And I had to actually alt-tab and then like try and use it from the back to try and get it to work. But I don't know much about it because I haven't got a Media Center PC, so I haven't got all the TV and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I suggest looking at winsupersite.com, which I'll mention again at the end, because he does chat about
that's
that.
Paul Thorpe, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is, Paul Thorpe. One thing I haven't mentioned is I installed Beta drivers for NVIDIA and for the sound, and both of them didn't work straight away. The NVIDIA one caused the most humongous thing you've ever seen.
You took a picture on your phone,
took a picture
and it was like, what?
I mean, it's from the old days when if you got the horrendously wrong drivers, you'd get like just completely weird, deformed monitor thing with like slashes and strange things and warped stuff everywhere. It was that, essentially. It was flickering all over the place. I reset and it was fine. I know they're Beta drivers, but still, Vista Beta and everything has been out for ages now. You'd think they would have sorted it.
Yeah.
The other thing was that by default, it used the NVIDIA sound, which doesn't work with optical SPDIF out. So I had to go and get, some Realtek drivers. Again, they didn't work straight out of the box. I had to install them, reboot. It said they didn't work, then use Windows to manually override it again. And eventually it got through. And even then, all of the Realtek software says this isn't supposed to work on Vista. So they are Beta drivers. It's Beta software, but they do need to get it sorted.
It's just like, you shouldn't have to go through all that mess.
No. I think we might as well stop there. As I say, we won't talk too much, as I say, because, you know, everyone's doing Vista stuff. I was going to mention user access control messages popping up all the time.
Yeah, I was actually going to say we should mention that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you were telling me about it,
it's,
you know.
It's so irritating.
It's like Windows needs permission. And
well, what happens is the whole screen completely, like, flashes. It almost looks like your monitor, you know, someone's gone, like, whip, whip, whip on your monitor cable, and everything just flickers. Apparently that's a feature. I'm not kidding, okay?
Right.
It's a feature where Windows is creating a secure shot of your desktop so that it's not something forging these messages. Yeah? Something like that. And it keeps asking you for these all the time. I mean, you try and run something, it asks you once to say this is an unsigned EXE, which costs loads of things. Oh, cool air. It's beginning to come in now.
Yeah.
And then it asks you, you know, permission to do this. It's like six dialogue boxes just to delete something and then delete it from the recycle bin.
It's crazy.
So it is crazy. That's kind of Linuxy. If you use Ubuntu, you get that all the time. But what Linux does is Linux remembers. So you do that once, and it will remember for about 5 minutes that you've got been authorized. So whatever. But yeah, go and check out winsupersite.com. Lots and lots of actual features. He's doing a weekly feature special on each different part of Vista.
Yeah.
So I suggest watching that and looking at that if you're interested in doing this. And of course, get it yourself. 3.5 gig, go and give it a try. I advise unplugging all unnecessary hard drives. Tim Buckley from CAD Comic, leaving his removable disk in, erasing all of his backups. You know, don't trust the Vista partitioner. I unplugged all my other drives and just plugged in my new one, my new 120 gig spare.
You bought a spare hard drive.
Yeah, for doing this sort of thing. And I just didn't want to... don't take the risk, basically.
It's not worth it at all.
I'm also going to try out the X64 version because I've got a 64-bit processor.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how that works, actually.
You know, so I'll do a quick report on that sometime. So that's Windows Vista Beta.
Yes. Beta 2. So, like we said, nothing major,
we're
just
not
our
impressed.
Opinions on it.
And we're not
but,
impressed.
But we're not impressed in the slightest. I mean, I've looked at it, I'm like, well, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, I mean... although, I guess, everyone said this, well, I know I said it about XP. When it
everyone
came
always says it, and at the end of the day, everyone always switches. It just,
I always said I would switch to XP, and I do now, and I live and I swear by XP, but...
you get used to it, but still, it's still no reason not to whinge about it, basically. DirectX 10 is going to be awesome. That's the only thing I can say about Vista.
If they do the gaming thing properly.
Oh, the Gaming Explorer thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all that stuff, yeah. Want to just mention, to me, it's a real... I could rant on about this for ages. I won't, but I could.
No, I could too.
And it's the raids that occurred on the Pirate Bay and the Pirate Party in Sweden. And the entire of the ISP. What happened a few days ago is all over the internet. It was like the most dug story for ages. Like 7,000 digs or something stupid on all the
That's
stories.
That's a lot.
Basically, they were raided by the Swedish police.
Well, just let's clear something up before, in case people don't know. The Pirate Bay is a torrent website.
It's a BitTorrent tracking.
It's a very big popular one too. It's one of the most popular on the
internet.
Probably
second biggest at the moment. Well, now probably the biggest from all the publicity.
Compared to the other sites like Mininova.
Mininova is the most usually the most popular.
So, yeah, it got raided by the police.
Yeah, now, in Sweden, the company, they say... that it was actually, they had the Pirate Party, which is a political party, to try and reduce copyright laws, among other things. And they say that they launched, they made the Pirate Bay as a demonstration about what they're trying to do yet, which is obviously not true. No. It started with the Pirate Bay, then it moved to the Pirate Party, you know, and then they're now using it, you know, their lawyers have told them to do this, and they're starting it, it's gaining quite big now.
Yeah.
They clearly have extremely good lawyers. But they were raided by the Swedish police, and the rumours that are going round that were started by a Swedish newspaper or something that did an investigation into this are that, in fact, the MPAA in America pressurised the US government, who then pressurised the Swedish government to then perform this raid. And it was literally like some guy from Sweden went over to the US, like some diplomat or whatever, went over to the US, and like 3 weeks later, the Pirate Bay were raided.
Yeah.
And they reckon something's up. But what really... irks me is that not only did they take all the Pirate Bay stuff, but they took 200 small businesses and all of their servers that were at this ISP. They took all of it and they're now holding it all. And that's 200 legitimate businesses or however many people who have absolutely nothing to do with the Pirate Bay or the Pirate Party. They were just in the same server room and they've had all their stuff taken. And now... the Swedish police are asking for all the administrator passwords and all the administrator data so that they can get on and check to make sure that all the data isn't to do with the Pirate Bay.
I'd say fuck off.
That's just, well, they can't because this is the Swedish police. They'll say you've got something to hide and they'll take you into custody. And but it's going to invade all of the customers of these businesses, all their privacy, all of the people's privacy who have these servers just because they were in the same room.
It's
not, the Pirate Bay.
I think it's totally outrageous.
It
I
is
mean,
completely outrageous.
That's, you don't do it. You don't ask for someone else's password like this. You, I mean, I don't care if Swedish police or whatever. If they want to, you know, investigate the Pirate Bay, then fine. Investigate the Pirate Bay. But don't blooming drag all these businesses that have nothing fuck all to do with it.
They don't have anything at all. And they're, like, asking for all of their stuff. And there's... because you can go on to... you can find them. If you go and find out, you can find out who was hosted by them. And you can go on their websites and they're all... you know, putting up, like, we're out of action for, you know, however many weeks until they take our stuff back. But the raid also broke a lot of laws and regulations. There was a lot of stuff about, clearly, again, Pirate Bay lawyers clearly said, like, list all of these things that the raid's gone wrong when we're in court stuff. there were things like the police covered the CCTV cameras.
Yeah, I was going to say that because you mentioned that to me. They went around and covered them all up and then they disconnected them completely.
Yeah, and that's against the rules because if the raid is completely above board, they don't need to disconnect the CCTV cameras. But luckily for the Pirate Bay, they had all the stuff moved straight away. They were streaming it off to another place.
They were pretty much ready for something like this to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, you do have a backup plan for this sort of thing. Some guy from the anti-pirate party in Sweden was present at the raid. He'd gone with the police.
That's not good.
How is a member of the public entitled to go to a raid? And that's why they say that it was actually a raid on the political party and not a raid on the Pirate Bay.
No.
And in fact, they're using the Pirate Bay as an excuse. And all of this is
to be able to fight, to have a go at this.
To be honest, neither of them are any good. You know, neither of them are good reasons to go and have a raid on this place and take everyone's stuff.
But then again, could it be that we're being slightly biased here?
Of course, we're being biased. But still, what you don't do is take 200 legitimate small businesses.
No.
There is no way you can be biased about that.
True,
that's completely bad. But what's interesting is that the Pirate Bay came back after 3 days. They'd already got servers rented out in the Netherlands ready for this to happen. And they were down more when one of the guys had a cold and couldn't fix the database. They were down for like 6 days once when someone was really ill. And they were only down for 3 days when the Swedish police come and raid and take all their stuff.
That's just them. That's just their way of pissing off the Swedish police.
Well, I think it's great.
They do it all the time.
So that wraps up this show. Very sorry that it's short again. Got another short episode. We're going back to
last episode wasn't short. Wasn't overly short last episode.
Last episode was quite short. It was like... Actually, no, it wasn't.
No, we did our office talk.
Yeah, it was extended at the end. No, office talk was not the one before that.
Wasn't it? No,
office talk
was last week.
Oh, well. Well, anyway, it's a bit short. We're sorry that this episode is a bit short, but it's so hot and it's just not good.
No, I mean, even though we're saying it's so hot, and it is really hot, I mean, I'm sweating buckets here.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's not all that much to talk about at the moment. There's nothing really going on.
There's no big gaming stuff going on. You know, Vista Beta 2 we could have talked about more, but...
But there's like tons of stuff, so much stuff anyway.
I am saving next episode my talk about the Linux gaming stuff. Maybe I should have talked about that this episode.
Maybe
so. I haven't got any show notes.
But next episode, we should have a lot more content.
Yeah, well, if it's cooler, then we will. If not, then, you know, our show is going to start being based on what the weather's like. So we got some plugs and shouts just to wrap up the show. I've got a plug. You might have some plugs and shouts. I noticed they're not on here.
No,
so.
I didn't make any. Yeah. I got
a plug to www.hack5radio.com. They've got a website now. You can go to there and it's run by members of the Hack 5 community. I believe Mubix and Dark Sine are running it at the moment. They had an interview with Tom B, which was really cool. He's from the UK.
All right.
It was really cool. I suppose you could plug MMORadio.com.
I was just going to say, you could do, because I mean, I listen to MMO Radio. I mean, we've plugged them before. I know we have.
We have, yes.
But so plug them again. So, they're a good radio station.
They're
apart from their slogan, they're constantly coming up.
Rock.
Also, I find one thing about them is that they're always very quiet when they're talking.
Yeah.
The music's fine, but when they're talking, it's hard to understand what they're saying. But no, it's a good way of just listening. It's just good background music.
Yeah. We've also got a shout again to Moonlit. It's like, we need to vary our shouts.
I know, but it's for different reasons every
time. Yeah, every time Moonlit does something that deserves a shout. So we'd like to thank him for doing what we're supposed to be doing and advertising the show.
He's promoting us more than we are.
I mean, on Hack 5, every time I come on, he will mention Life in Hex and then give the URL out in some way or another. And on his MSN, we noticed that he was like, it's got lifeinhex.com and hack5.org.
So...
And it's like, dude, that's awesome.
That's
okay.
Really cool.
Keep doing it, Moonlit.
Thank you so much.
We love you for doing it. There is absolutely, you know, please don't stop. You know, if you can think of ways for us to have, if you can think of ways for even for us to do, of things for us that will advertise it, then, you know, we'll listen to you, dude, because we need some advertising and stuff. So it's great. And also, we formally invite you in public to come on the show sometime on Skype when it's a bit cooler, when we can sit and prepare all the virtual audio cables.
Really good
and
show
stuff.
And everything.
And, you know, we'll have you on sometime because it'd be really great to talk to you and have a chat and be on, you know, for you to be on the show and everything because it would be great.
Yeah. So, it's not far off the end of the episode.
Mm, it is the end of the episode.
Yes. Sorry about the slightly shorter show.
Yeah.
We've got some other stuff we could have talked about. We'll probably put that on our say thing, we didn't say.
Yeah, put a couple of things
bits,
on there.
Because I've got a couple of things I'd like to talk about.
That's say.lifeinhex.com.
So check that out.
You can email us at show@lifeinhex.com.
Yep, or you can come and join us and chat with us on the forum at...
lifeinhex.com/forum. That sounds about right. It's not forums. Yeah, forum.
Even if it's not, just go on the website.
Yes, it's very quiet. I'm going to do a redesign of the website at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe that will be my 7-week coding project. Redesign the website.
Yes.
Because it does need it. It's, you know, before it was fine where it just had a few episodes. But now, because we've got a forum and all this sort of thing, we need to try and link it all together. I maybe move it to WordPress so it's a bit easier to edit.
Maybe so, yeah.
Because at the moment it's a bit of a bastardized PHP thing.
Yeah.
So we'll do that and we'll catch you back for episode 17 in a couple of weeks.
And if anybody of you wants to talk live to Gelada, he's often on Hack5.
I am on Hack5 IRC. That's irc.hack5.org and channel... is Hack 5.
If you want to talk to me as well, though, just tell Gelada and he'll get my arse on there and let me know.
Yeah, I'll tell him to get his arse on there and come on the Hack 5 IRC.
And I'll
maybe we'll get our own channel on there. Just
I so doubt it.
Well, who else has got one on there? TechCentric and BSOD TV. They've got a couple of channels on there. So there's another couple of cool things, actually. BSODTV.org, really cool. Go and check them out.
Yeah. I've seen you showed me them and they're very cool.
They're very cool people. And Hack 5, of course.
So plugs to them, plugs to Hack 5, plugs to...
We're just padding out the show with plugs now, aren't we? Plugs to Tesco for giving us... No, wait a sec. This is tap water.
Yeah. Plugs to Tesco, Perthshire, Mountain Spring Bottles.
Yeah.
And plugs to... Who's your water board?
Anglian Water.
Plugs to Anglian Water for giving us all the water we need to stay cool.
And not insisting that there's a water shortage and stuff so that we can...
In our area, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, there is another place.
And plugs to Gold Air, the maker of the fan.
Yeah, which is an antique fan.
It looks like it's come back from the 70s.
It's got some sort of green slime on the fans, which you can't see at the moment. And it's got blue tack from where I put blue tack things on it to try and funnel the air into Hikara.
Oh, my God.
But it works. I think we'll buy it. Should we invest in a fan? Like a tornado fan? Oh. Like a...
We need to invest quite a lot of stuff.
We need air.
We need AC. We need condenser mics. We need...
In the summer. But yeah, I'm Gelada.
I'm Zephyrin.
And it's been a very warm,
very
hot episode 16. We're going to be like, the heat is so bad. I'm sneaking into the club.
I've done that before, remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's really great when you drink. Oh.
Oh, Jesus. Anyway,
the heat is making us delirious.
The original story art and original story.
The original story art.
Wow. The story and art was originally done. Well, not originally done. It still is done.
Fuck off.
The original story and artwork was done by. What? How do you pronounce that?
You've written it and you're like, Nobuhiro Watsuki.
And I had to say second name, Watsuki, but I didn't have to say...
Well, this has been Gelada and Zephyrin.
And Zephyrin.
And Zephyrin.
And Zephyrin.
And Zephyrin.
And Zephyrin.
There's so many Zephyrins!
Ah! The world is not a safe place anymore.
Hi, this is Gelada, and we realised... at the end of the show that we had actually missed out a couple of emails we got, so we thought we'd just include a couple of them at the end. First one from Andrew says, hi Gelada and Zephyrin, just want to say that I'm really enjoying the show, especially the tech and gaming section. I thought the bit about Office 2007 beta was really good. He also asks about the timer for the show on his media player. Keeps resetting, it doesn't work properly. The reasons for that usually are to do with having a media player that doesn't support variable bitrate, which we use. We've had a few people have problems with it actually, so we're thinking about changing the way that we encode the show. But it does, variable bitrate does allow us to have really low files size compared to, you know, in proportion to how long the show is. And also he asks if there was a link, like an image link to Life in Hex that we have. I've made a couple and I will be sending them to you, Andrew. I'll probably put them on the site as well. We also got an email from Plutus King, I think. Has that actually got a name? It says, just got around to listening to the new episode, Groovy Show. You mentioned that perhaps during the summer doing some more in-depth MMO reviews. And he says he was wondering if, when we get around to doing that, if we need some World of Warcraft trial keys. He just recently cancelled his account, but he has a demo CD and two trial CD keys as well. And he loved the long text section we did on the programming languages. Thank you very much, mystery person, Plutus King. That would be great if we could have those two trial keys. I mean, that's very kind of you. I'll get in touch with you at some point during the summer and see if you haven't got rid of them yet. If not, then we'll find another way. We've got a couple of friends who play WoW, so might be able to sort something out with them. But if not, that would be really great. Thank you very much for emailing in and letting us know that you have them for us and possibly donating them to us. So I think that's all. Hope you enjoyed the episode.
Apparently we need water to live, did you know that?